Beaming live on a radio rope from a world near you, it's CKNWR radio station, servicing the city of Adobe Skyscraper, the surrounding Atobega County, and if weather permits, even further than that.
All right. Welcome back, evening people. Welcome. This is your friend, Ray Wister, here again to administer another solid hour of radio magic to you. I don't suppose friends usually administer. Usually that's the task of an administrator. So scratch that. I'm your radio administrator for the evening. And if you're joining us for the first time this evening, don't fret. I expect that by the end of this program, you're going to be a dyed-in-the-wool Tesselope. If you don't know what a Tesselope is, don't fret. Think about it. Think about it real hard. It sounds like the word antelope, and it begins with the letters T-E-S. If you already are a Tesselope, consider this your sonic embrace. Now, as you know, for each episode, whenever I go down to the city's radio archives, I take the elevator down, and I get on a golf cart, an electric golf cart, and with my cardboard box, and I drive around the 10,000 square foot floor, and go to different sections, browse around, peruse, pick out tapes and CDs that I think might have some interesting things on them, and I take them back to the studio and splice them all together to create this show for you. Now, what you may not know is exactly how many hours of recorded material are in the radio archives. You may not know that because, as far as I know, no one knows that number. It's so enormous, and more is being added all the time that it's impossible to calculate. And let's see what we have this week. First up, we have another episode of The Bus, which, of course, was a very popular radio program, which involved the broadcasters sitting on the school bus on the way to school. We also have an episode of Twilight Time, which was a television show that actually ran out of funding before it could be televised, and so they ended up just broadcasting it on the radio waves. Not very successful, but quite interesting to listen to in retrospect. We also have an episode of It's Personal with Anita, which is somewhat of a self-help type show. Callers call in with their problems, and Anita gives them advice. And, of course, another installment of this evening's show, TES, with your regular friends, John, Charlie, and Louie. And, of course, all the music you can handle on this week's show. So, without further ado, I ring the bell and we commence the episode. Hope you like it.
Yeah, man. Hey, my buddies were saying that they're going to quit school after this year, but I was telling them, you get to keep going to school. Sometimes you get to skip a class, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like, this year I'm probably going to skip, I don't know, I'm going to skip today, probably, but I'm going to skip most of my day.
You're going to skip today, man?
Yeah, man, first day is the best day to skip, because I think is you just, all you have to do is, like, you go into the next day of school, and then you got, all you got to say is, happy first day of school, or something like that. Like, hey, my first day of school, I can't wait. And all the, like, truancy, like, all the, when the teacher hears you, they'll think that you just got the wrong first day of school.
Yeah. they might make that mistake, man. But, you know, it's already, like, it's real early, man. I mean, why wouldn't you go to school? You know what?
This guy's talking. Hang on.
Welcome to the new year, kids. Welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. And it's going to be a good year. We're all very, very excited. And I'm especially excited because I'm really... One thing that I've done is I've brought on different guests for the first day of school, and they're all here with us today to share, oh, a number of different things. The first to welcome you, we have the mayor.
Hello, children of the city. This is your mayor, Dean Wainard. I congratulate you for starting your new year. Remember to learn everything you can learn. If you gain more knowledge, you'll be more powerful later in life. To commemorate this time, as is usually the way, I'm going to open a bottle of champagne. Though it is not legal to be on this bus, I have special privileges as mayor. Cheers to the new year, children. Cheers to the new year. And if you come into a problem, remember about this. See your way out. Thank you, Mr. Bus Driver. I appreciate your services. You should get a raise soon.
Well, that'd be very nice. Well, so you all heard it from the mayor. It's going to be a good school year. And now that we have the alcohol off of the bus, we're gonna start it up. Everyone get ready. Everyone in your seats. There it goes. There it goes. The engine's pumping now, and it's the first day of the new school year. All right. Our second guest, the student council president, and he's going to talk about what happened to the school while you were all gone.
Hot kids, I don't usually ride the bus. I'm a school I'm a student council principal. What's my name?
Student body president.
I'm the student body president of the high school. Now, I don't usually ride the bus because I drive. But you should know, while you guys were out of vacation, we had some things done at the school. There's skateboard rink. If you go past the gym, past the waterfall, there's a skateboard rink and you can do skateboards there. You can't do them on the stairs anymore because some kid broke his arms. So anyways, check out for that. We're going to have an awesome year this year because our football team rocks and the western half of our school has been cleaned.
All right, thank you. Now that we're on our way to school, we're going to have another guest, and this one is an employee of the dog food company that provides all the food for the animals, for all the animals around school.
Hello, kids. Animals are important for our ecosystem, so when you feed your animals, make sure you take into account how much grain feed you're giving them versus how much toe feed you're giving them. Remember, the Adobe Dog Food Company makes a specific blend for your pet or your creature. Don't mix up the blends. Don't give Foxborough some kind of weird blend for a nabbit tail. Or don't give raccoon feed to a deer. Now, I saw some of you kids in the back of the bus. Bus driver, I hope you don't mind about this, but I'm going to point out some of your kids in the back of the bus were throwing feed out the window, attracting birds who did not eat that native feed. Some of those birds had grown talons that were longer than normal. They were putting steroids in those birds. Bus driver, do you not have any control over the biological footprint of your route, of your bus, and of your passengers? This is alarming to me.
Well, I think that those are matters to be taken up with my employers, I believe.
Your employers should be responsible for their employees. Your employers are the city. I'm going to report you. I hope you don't mind. You let me off at the next stop, please.
Well, if that's we have to make every stop on the way to school.
Tell me when we're close to a dog food factory and let me get out.
Right. We can do that for you.
Hey, bus driver, there's some weird bird back here. It's pecking at my lunchbox.
Turn around and he's gonna be fine. He's gonna be fine.
It's pecking at my lunchbox.
And
PE, man.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be taking PE, but I'm skipping it.
Yeah, but man, if you're out there anyways,
you get counted absent. Or you won't get counted absent. You think they count as absent?
Not if we were there.
But we're skipping today, man. We gotta be absent.
So where are we gonna go? We're gonna go to school.
Hey, you pisshead.
Hey, man, what?
You owe me $5, you dink. Remember I told you I wouldn't hit you and you said $5 worth?
No, man, I ain't at school today, man.
What? I seen you.
No, I'm not going to school today, man. I'm skipping.
I hit you.
Yeah, man, tomorrow.
Oh, man, just go away, dude. Don't do that. Man, I hate that guy. He's like a big, crazy second grade kid.
Yeah, he keeps wanting to hit me.
All right, and we're getting very close to school now. We'll just pull up and I'm sorry for that interruption, but our last guest here is just the principal.
Hi, kids. This is Dan Dalmatian, man. Hey, have a good year at school this year, kids. Hey, and don't get into any trouble. Do your best at your class. Hey, guess what? Graduation's coming soon, and if you stick in school, you'll be coming to graduation soon. All right, kids, take it from here.
I made dinner reservations tonight. It's over by that place, over by that post office. It's pretty fancy. I think I'll go over there by 30 minutes or maybe 20 from now. I'll go by the laundromat and see my socks and say hello. Then I'll walk across the street as though I don't care. I don't care. But sometimes I'm casual like I do.
Sometimes on bus, sometimes on train, sometimes on foot, sometimes on my own. Looky there, liquor store shop. Just look ahead, there's no time to shop. I hope my boots look expensive. There he goes there, walking so
boat. It's not really a boat, it's more like a jet ski. I painted it black and I've got a lot of styrofoam around it. Looks the same. I've also got a top of the line car.
I made reservations for 6:45 and 7:02. If Chuck's late, Gary won't be. Those are the names I use. I use them like a roofie. There he goes there, walking so slow, wandering on. I heard he spends his time in the monogram. I heard his Lexus is nearly up the road. I heard
Tonight on the news, 17 people decided to secede from the city of Adobe Skyscraper today. They formed their own city within the city. It was called Pat and Andrew's Patio Garden. It was made of a household and some neighbors who decided to set up their own tax code. They forego paying property tax for paying living tax. They owed themselves too much tax, however, and they went bankrupt as a nation. And will begin rehabilitation programs at the local community college on Wednesday nights. If you need to play free basketball, they will referee your game.
The last whistle blows. It's time to go home. Just another average day. And yet, how strange the sky looks. Amethyst, topaz, atomic tangerine. You have just entered the weird world on the other side of the here and now. Don't worry, you'll get back home. Eventually. But for now, it's twilight time.
Good evening. I'm Lawrence Ashley, and thank you for tuning into this television program. You may be wondering what I'm doing trapped here in a burning destroyed sports car at the bottom of a ravine, surrounded by fog and bleeding from my face and hands. As it happens, I was on the way to visit my mother when I fell asleep at the wheel and crashed into an abandoned perfume factory at the top of that hill, just up there. When I came to, a pinkish-looking mist emanating from the factory entered my vehicle through the air vents, seized control of the steering wheel, and forced me off the cliff and into this ravine where you see me now. But why did this happen? Thing is, until recently, this city was relatively free of sentient fog. In fact, there was none here at all. But ever since it rolled into this quiet retirement community just moments ago, nothing has been quite the same. This car wreck, for instance. And also, everything smells strongly of gardenias. This weirdo mystery has everyone asking, from whence did this fog come? From why? And why now? The answer may astonish you. Thurston and Patricia Collins live near the top of the hill where the fog is said to have emanated from.
Leonard had just got home from work and told me to lock the doors and shut the windows. Fetch the cats, he said. I didn't know why, but he had this wild look in his eye. He just said the something was coming. What was it?
The enigma.
That's right. The enigma, he said. The enigma is coming. Well, I didn't know what he was going on about, but we locked down the windows and turned off the AC, and sure enough, right from the top of that hill, this pinkish mist was rolling.
It was nothing of this world. I'm sure of it. Just enigmatical.
That's right. Very enigmatical. And I'll tell you, things have been very weirdo around here lately. My mother phoned in from the garden club and told me that the fog had finished a jigsaw puzzle she was working on. She was quite happy with it, which surprised me, because I've gotten nothing but trouble from it. Just look at this crossword Leonard was working on. See? That fog filled it out with all kinds of hateful language and curse words. I'm embarrassed to even be showing this to the camera. If you want to know the truth, I think...
Maybe your nose is bleeding.
But Patricia wasn't the only one with a story to tell. Hairstylist Tinsley Cliffwalk became a true believer when the fog entered his own mother's home just days ago.
I had just gotten to mother's apartment for our monthly hair appointment, and I opened the door, and there she is, sitting at the kitchen table with a lovely double helix French braid, perfectly designed in her hair. Well, that's very difficult. I should know, very difficult. Oh, I said, Mother, did you forget we had a hair appointment today? And she told me a sweet-smelling spirit had entered her kitchen through the window and just started working on her hairdo. I was, of course, a little put off by that. I mean, I drove all the way out here to do her some favors, and then, come to find out, some ghost, well, ghost. I don't believe that. So I said, well, I'll just fix your hair a different way. Not quite so uppity. And what would you know then? This blobbity pink misty poof come floating through the window and grabbed the hairspray and threw it in the microwave. And then beeped some buttons, turned it on, high fusion, boom. So now here I am, stuck in the hospital with a concussion, second degree burns, and this little monster's back with my mother eating steak Diane. Boo.
How strange. Car wrecks, exploded microwaves, bloody noses. Reports like this all over town. And yet this fog, this thing, seems to have a softer side as well. But what was the connection? Could it really be somehow alive? Or was it merely a cloud of perfume that had poured out from the abandoned factory, causing people to hallucinate? To get to the bottom of this, I spoke with Isha Swanchild, a ghost expert working out of a basement below a wig and hair extension store.
I'm 100% sure that this is a ghost. Absolutely. Look, I studied ghosts and ghost-like non-ghosts for practically my entire life. And I've seen just about all there is to see. Your super phantoms, Pygmalion water wraiths, common spirit freaks, you name it. But I have never seen anything like this. Never. I mean, the scale of this is just totally phenomenal. The energy this thing is emitting is just, it just tops just about anything I've seen before. I set up an ion recorder and an EKG field camera overnight, and the readings were off the charts. When I saw this, the hairs on the back of my neck were literally standing on end and freaking out. Take a look. Do you see that? Do you see that shape moving in the distance? It's a little grainy, but you can tell it's the fog. Do you know what it's doing? Watering the plants. An incredible phantom. Incredible. Who knows what this thing is capable of?
Isha Swanchild seemed to be convinced that this fog was a spirit from the other world. But could he be trusted? He did seem rather like an idiot after all. To be sure, I consulted with scientist Emma Petrovic to see if there was more to the story than met the eye. I met her at the lab at the high school where she teaches.
Well, I saw this as a great learning opportunity for my students, so I took them out on a field trip to capture a sample of the fog. We got it all right, but on the way back, I took control of the bus and smashed this into a boulder, burned a curse into the grass. I think it was trying to stop us from discovering the truth. Honestly, maybe even kill us. But anyway, we got out all right. After walking all the way back to the lab, we ran some diagnostics. The results?
I couldn't wait to find out what the results were. Was the fog some sort of demon shadow from another dimension, or merely a figment of our imagination? So I asked Emma Petrovic what the results were.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but this isn't a ghost or anything like that. It's just common, ordinary perfume. Nothing special about this at all. In fact, we were able to pin it down to a specific brand. Jolly Garden. You can get it at JCPenney. It smells good. My grandmother wears it.
Another mystery solved. Or is it? When it's twilight time, shadows come out to play. Until next time, this is Lawrence Ashley wishing you good night.
Underestimate the backyard bear, full of care.
I never didn't care.
goddamn.
I never didn't care when I said I care. One time I was sleeping when I heard the sound. Said, damn, there's a thing going down. Turned out just to be the alarm clock ring. Sometimes this bear's just too high string. I'm a backyard bear and I float around. Sometimes in up in another town. I got flies on my eyes and I dip in my stride. Everybody thinking, what the fuck is that guy?
Backyard bear. Bear.
Never underestimate, you better not stare.
Shoot the backyard bear, the backyard bear.
I'm counting on you for that look right there.
Shoot the backyard bear, the backyard bear.
Someone better write down things I say.
Shoot the backyard bear, the backyard bear.
Bear's always ready to go all the way. Yeah, a bear's always ready to go all the way.
Good evening, listeners. This is Anita, and I'm so, so happy to be with you once again. I've missed you. I've missed you, and I think you've missed me. Tonight, we're going to see what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what you're needing. So if you've got a call, we're ready to take your call. Our hearts are ready. Go ahead, Boz.
Tonight, we have a very special caller. He comes all the way from Kinnickinnick Island.
Caller, do you have a name?
Yeah, my name is Sandy.
Sandy, I hear some pain in your voice. Tell me, Sandy, why are you calling tonight?
Well, I have a scrapey throat, but that's not why I'm calling. I was really curious if you ever... I'm having these feelings that I'm not cleaning up my floor as good as I could. I have several cats and two pigeons. I find their dander and their fur all the time, even though I vacuum.
Sandy, tell me, does anyone else live with you besides your cats and your pigeons?
There's four or five people that stay here on the weekend.
Okay. But these are transients. They come and they go. Yes, it's all right. You can say yes. That's fine. Yes, they do.
I don't know their names.
Right, yes.
They're always different.
So, Sandy, what I am hearing pain, not just because your voice is rough, but you are alone. You are alone. And you have the pigeons to try to hide that, and you have the cats to try to hide that. But you are alone, and you see the signs of that on your floor. And you are cleaning, and you try to scrub that loneliness away, but it's still there. And you know what, Sandy? That will always be there, okay? And you know what? You need to go to the grocery store, and you need to tell whoever your checker is that you're lonely. And you see what they say, okay? You go to the grocery store, and next time you're there, you say, I want paper, and I'm very alone. And you just see what they say, and I think the results will surprise you. And you know what, Sandy? I've got a song for you. So here it is, Boz.
That's right. Here for you, Sandy, we have...
No, Boz, you don't get to pick the song. Anita picks the song. Callers, that one put a little prick in my heart, and I think it did yours too. I'm feeling that prick from all of your hearts in my heart now. Boz, who do we have? Who's next?
Well, we have about 28 callers online right now.
We'll get to you. You be patient. Except that let's skip the first four. Can we go to caller number 5?
We're going to caller number 5.
Boz didn't tell me where you are from or what your name is, so go ahead, tell me.
My name's Steve. I'm from Sonora.
Steve? Steve, go ahead. Tell me what's on your heart and your mind tonight.
Why do I feel in my mind and my heart that I'm only two-dimensional?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's a good question, Steve.
I feel like I can go left or right. But that's all for me.
You can go left or right. You can't go forward. Can't go backward. Left or right. This is an existential crisis you're having, Steve.
I try not to open my eyes. For fear of confusion.
No, okay, I think we'll go with caller number 7. Caller number 7, please, boss.
We have a very special caller from Crater Lake area.
Caller from Crater Lake, what is your name?
Hi, my name is Alvin.
Alvin. I like the spirit in your voice. Speak, Alvin, speak.
Well, I was calling because I feel that my uncle, Alvin Sr., does not respect my profession, though I've worked very hard to gain it. And I was feeling resentment at that, and some of the family doesn't take me seriously.
That can be hard when the ones closest to us don't accept our chosen path. The path that sometimes isn't even chosen, that life has led us on. That is a hard experience. That is a raw experience. What is your career, Pat?
I'm a belly dancing instructor at the local Y.
Alvin, what a rich, rich life you lead. You've been dealt and you have accepted. Can you tell me what is your uncle Alvin, Alvin Sr., what is his chosen profession?
Alvin Sr. is a belly dance instructor at the YMCA on 17th Street. He says my belly dance instructor is not correct. He's ashamed of me, he says. But I interpret it differently because I'm different from him.
You are different. You are a unique soul. Your name is shared, but your soul is divided. Your soul is separate. Your soul is you, Alvin, not Alvin Sr. I think what you need to do is go into your Uncle Alvin's class and cause a huge scene. I mean, take everything down off the walls, throw things, interrupt his class, and I think that will finally be the breakthrough your uncle needs. This is Anita. I think if you open your eyes, you will see forward, and when you turn around, you will see forward still, but it will be backward from where you were seeing forward. I have a song just for you, Steve. Here it is.
devising. Number 8, Blue Jean Blue. Flying free over the city in springtime. All their sandwiches and fresh milk, and a blanket for the cold, and a lantern for the dark night, and a necklace. When we see our road the factory, with the tractor parts are made, when we heard a gunshot ring out, it was scary, jealous scary. And I knew it all was over, and you turned me and said, John Dobler, you're crashing.
Comodica. All the hard-hitting political chatter you can stomach.
You will regret such action against your soul.
I believe this to all be a fantasy.
Democrat, Republican.
And then replacement call.
Kick Jason out.
All the senators you've come to love in a battle royale to the top.
I told you emotions do not exist.
The president, of course, talking in poetic language, as is his bent.
I'd like to stop you right there.
Mr. Moderator.
Please, the moderator will not be interrupted.
I refer you to the cyborg janitor standing to my right.
Place a paper bag over your head right
I
now.
I suggest the bags should
do
burn.
Do not remember agreeing to the bags.
We'll all agree that the bags should burn. Slap your hand.
Zero votes.
The Quartermaster has spoken.
Tune in next time for another hard-hitting episode of Political Comedica.
Today is very special for many people in the community because it is a Knot Day, and many people decide to celebrate it because of its significance in synchronizing our watches and so forth. Mm-hmm. And here to talk to us a little bit about what Knot Day is and why it's important, we have a professor from Adobe College, Tina Yardwalker.
Mm-hmm, that's me.
And you're a professor of time zone science?
Indeed, I am.
So, for the rudimentary understanding, there's basically layers of time zones out in space.
Right, that's right, that's right. I'm surprised that most people don't know this already, because it's something that we teach our kids, you know, from a very young age. So did you want me to explain it?
Yeah, so when all the time zones align...
Knot Day.
Knot Day, exactly.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought Knot Day was going to be dark.
Nighttime.
When the sun goes away.
Well, back to the actual Knot Day. When all these time zones coincide, you've probably heard that you're supposed to set your watch to zero.
Right.
Depending on where you live, which zone you live. Most of us live down here, at the geocentric zone, because we live on the surface of the planet. When you start traveling up to radio pods, or you go up and you live like an ET or somebody like that, you got to get a different watch.
Indeed. And that one's probably going to be about 2 hours difference.
2 hours difference on average.
Right. On average, it depends, you know, about what kind of elevation you're at in your zone.
All right. So when all the time zones align, no, I guess there's an arbitrary object in the time zones that gives it the knot.
Well, you see, there's two objects, actually. One is right here on the geocentric zone, like right in our atmosphere, that's traveling around. And then there's an object that's out in the Algerian atmosphere. The furthest one, you see? They have little trackers on them, so you can track how far apart they are. And whenever they align perfectly, the trackers signal each other, sending us a signal to tell all the different zones to set the clock back.
Now, that's interesting. And when's the last time this happened?
Well, probably about 25,000 years ago, I believe.
It's amazing that they were able to send up probes that high that long ago.
When was the last not day? Because I thought I had a not day.
Not day is an actual thing. Yours is a delusion.
No, yeah, sure. Yeah, I got that. It's not day, but this not day is not the day that I thought it would be.
This happened 25,000 years ago last.
Yes.
What could be expected to be another 25,000 years before it happens again?
You can't ever be sure, because the only way you can do is just by tracking the...
The two trackers that were put out there 25,000 years ago. Or earlier. Do we have records of that?
We don't have records. You know, I think there's a lot of people, because I don't really, obviously cannot recall this happening, so I just rely upon other people's writings.
By other people, you mean a history 25,000 years old?
Well, just more like my boss ahead of me, the guy I got my position from, tracing all the way back 25,000 years ago.
Some people are trying to change the celebration from a scientific observation.
Like a donut day.
So trying to turn it into a myth.
Yes, with parties and dancing in the street.
Tablecloths.
Well, they're trying to make it a celebratory holiday when you drink piña colada. It's the other side of the coin. But thank you for shedding a little bit of light on the subject.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Now, we've been able to contact one of the lead coordinators for this year's Not Day celebration in downtown Adobe Skyscraper. Dana St. Ames. Dana, could you let us know a little bit about what to expect at the celebration this year?
Yes, hi, John. Thanks for having me. We've got a lot of exciting things lined up. We do have a parade, but really that's such a small part of it this year. We actually have a huge tree lighting ceremony at the end of the parade and in celebration of Not Day this year. So that's going to be big. There's going to be fireworks. Lighting up the aluminum palm tree.
Do they still have that Not Day song? The one that goes, like, it's not day, it's not day. Everybody knows it's not
day. I believe I know which song you're thinking of. It's Not Day. We ended up going with the Mansfold Boys Choir. We've got an ice sculpture that I don't want to ruin the surprise, but the ice sculpture will emerge from a very surprising place, so people won't want to miss that either.
It's like a time trigger with this icicle?
Can we expect the ice sculpture to pop out right when Not Day hits zero?
I mean, I really don't want to say too much. I mean, that's part of the surprise, you know. There's a special feature with the boys choir and the ice sculpture that is just going to... We were able to get the Tumbling Bears this year. That was a really big score for the organization to get the Tumbling Bears. So they will be in the parade. Their little voices really did the best job. It just is beautiful. And actually, I told you I wasn't going to say anything else, but it...
So, do you have any opinion on people claiming that Not Day is commercialized?
I mean, no, I don't have any opinion about that. I mean, we've never had one before. Like, none of us have ever been alive for this to happen. So how can we say if it's... We're kind of making this up. It's not even a real holiday. I mean, to say that it's commercialized, we're just making this up as we go. So I think that no, I don't have an opinion about that.
There are some who claim that this is, in fact, a tradition going back 25,000 years from boss to employee, turned to boss to employee. And they aren't very happy with how you're treating this holiday like it's something new.
Science or no science, boss or no boss, 25,000 years or not, I haven't had a single piña coladas. I mean, really, three piña coladas. This is going to be fun. People are going to have a good time.
I'm taking off.
Well, you should. That would be a great thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here.
All right. You know, I was curious what the significance was. Maybe there's some historical significance to the Tumbling Bears that are going to be here, because
It's something I've never seen, but I've definitely heard the term tumbling bears. I wonder if it went, if it goes all the way back to prehistoric times when that's how they celebrated things. Sounds like a celebratory thing that a prehistoric person might observe.
Well, I don't really know about that. Were they dancing 25,000 years ago? Yeah, probably. But is that why we got them? No. We got them because people want to see tumbling bears. I mean, they've been traveling with the carnival for years. And, you know, they had that incident with, you know, someone getting mauled and there was too much, I don't know. Well, I think I'm going to go.
All right, so that's the birds eating the dog food.
Well, I thought you were talking about all kinds of things eating the dog food or something and kids growing weird.
No, the kids are throwing dog food to birds that are growing weird.
Oh, right.
You want to call the guardian of these bird food throwers?
Yeah, we could just call a bus driver.
Just any old bus driver.
Sure, their numbers are right here in this book. Let's just pick one randomly. Carson Ponecki. Call Carson Ponecki, and we'll just ask him, what's the deal with these kids? It's ringing.
Hello?
Hi, is this Carson Ponecki? My name's John. I'm a host on this evening show.
Is this a television show?
Oh, it's a radio show, yeah.
Oh, I'm on the radio. That's fantastic. I wish you probably could have caught me at a better time.
I apologize for that. We just had a quick question. Is there any way that you could tell us what kind of oversight a bus driver has for controlling his carriers, so to speak?
Okay, the children. You know, we don't have a lot of oversight, at least not officially in the books. Now, there are things I like to do of my own in order to keep the kids in line.
Oh, like what?
I have my own ways of coercing them and encouraging them to do the right thing.
Yeah, hey, I was just wondering, if you're a bus driver, have you ever seen a lot of tall, growing, weird kids?
Have I seen any tall, growing, weird kids?
Yeah, I think Charlie's trying to indicate that maybe some of the kids are getting affected by this dog food, but I don't think that's an opinion most of us hold.
Well, I'll tell you, if, you know, I sure hope that none of my kids are growing weird ways.
When I was riding the bus, I got a lot of peanut butter, and they fed it to me a lot. Peanut butter for bus.
How much did you get on the bus?
Maybe about 5 tablespoons.
Keep you quiet, I guess.
So the bus driver would just come around with a tablespoon and just take a scoop out, feed it to you, put it in your mouth, pull it out, and do that 5 times?
Yeah, about 5 times, I'd say.
You're not with the police, are you?
No affiliation whatsoever.
And you're not a rover?
No, it's way too late for that. Yeah, we're...
Okay, well, I don't mind talking to you then.
What are these methods of coercion that you use? Could you enlighten us?
Well, coercion's maybe a little bit broad. I like to think it's more ways of encouraging them to be kind and sweet. You know, one of the ways is, well, you may notice I'm eating something right now, and it's candy. And I like to pass out candy in the morning to the kids, and I say, here's a lump of candy, son, and if you're good on the way back, then you get another lump of candy when you get off the bus. So, you know, this method of appeasing the children, as I say, is not strictly by the books. Yeah, I make my own homemade candy, and I put my own special touch on it, special ingredients.
No, you would argue that even that and all of its intricacy could have prevented what's been happening on this school bus with the dog.
Well, yeah, especially considering all of the special ingredients that I put in this candy. I figured it would calm them down a little bit, and maybe it's backfired in a way.
Well, what kind of special ingredients are you talking about?
Oh, I can't give away my secret recipe.
Trade secret.
If the kid is coming on board and he's very wild and rowdy, well, I sometimes give him 2 or 3 pieces of candy just to calm him down a little bit.
I can see how that might be effective. Is there anything that could be said for perhaps giving candy to the wrong kid?
Well, I mean, that's true that some kids, they have a certain reaction to it.
So some kids react differently to...
Yes, they react differently to the candy that I give them, yes.
Have you noticed any abnormal defects?
Abnormal's all in the eye of the beholder, I say. Some of them, you know, perhaps have what you might call abnormalities, but I call them just wonderful blessings.
Are you not being investigated for having the most mutant bus in the city?
Well, again, I wouldn't use the term investigated. I would say I'm being interviewed by police forces.
So you're being interrogated, as you said.
You know, they're asking playful questions, that's all. That's nothing more than that. I'm not in any kind of serious trouble, and I'm not hiding anything.
Are you at home right now? It sounds like you're kind of in an echoey place. Where are you right now?
It's not my home exactly. I'm on a rowboat.
Are you on the lake?
Yes, I'm on the lake, rowing in a rowboat away from town. But, you know, again, I'm an innocent man.
Sure.
I like to drive my bus and get my kids to school safely and without incidents and without anyone talking back to the bus driver, me.
It's ironic that we called that guy. There's thousands of bus drivers in this book.
Hard to love you. Well, that's about it for this week. It was a fantastic time having you join us. Don't forget that you can visit us on thisevenings.com. And until next time, remember to have a good time all the time. This is Ray Wister, signing out.